Welcome, everyone, to Blind Bargains Cast 23. Joe Steinkamp here with my good friend, J.J. Meadow. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm not in Orlando anymore, right? This is home?
No. And you survived the United crashes slash of systems, not of actual planes.
Good.
And I was delayed a little bit, too. So it kind of nailed everybody coming home at the time that I was flying last Wednesday. But yes, I am back on the East Coast. You are back in Michigan. And with us is two good people who also attended conventions. Miss Chansey Fleet of the New York Public Library attended the NFB convention. How are you doing, Chansey?
I am doing well. I am back in New York after celebrating my first ever convention birthday because of how late it was this year. And everything in my garden grew to about twice its size while I was gone, and I am glad to be back.
And with us is Mr. how do I address you? Is it Mr. Councilman now, Mr. Jeff Bishop? Mr. Jeff
no,
Bishop of the ACB Council on the board? I know somebody. Wow. I actually know a famous person. This is kind of cool. Welcome aboard, Jeff.
Well, more importantly, a happy belated birthday, Chansey.
Thank you.
I live in a little bit of not Schadenfreude, but probably the opposite, because for the first time in like 10 years, I didn't celebrate my birthday at the convention, which was kind of nice. So that was very nice to actually be able to go somewhere and actually, you know, went to a real restaurant that wasn't next to a hotel or had room service and had a real dessert.
Didn't want Denny's for your birthday?
No, and I have done that for my 40th. Oh. That was great. That was the Anatole. Yeah, I've never forgotten it. It was funny. It was with a friend of mine who also, we had celebrated her birthday a couple of years before at the same Denny's. So in sadness, there is symmetry. But not on this podcast. We're going to break a little bit of traditional format here and do a little bit more of a conversation. Hopefully you've listened to the audio that's already available in our RSS feed. If you haven't, definitely head over to blindbargains.com or grab the app for both iOS and Android, the newly updated iOS app, and take a listen to some of the audio before you take a listen to this podcast. By the way, this podcast sponsored to you by Hims. Your needs are our solutions, as you might have heard once or twice during our wonderful coverage of Blind Bargains, doing both NFB and ACB. And thank you, Shelley Brisbane, for bringing in some ACB audio. That was also very, very cool.
Yes, and thanks, Joe, for doing NFB while I was held hostage at the AT guys table, which was also really busy. So if any of you that came by the table to browse or purchase, either way, it was really great to see so many of you, whether it was at the booth or somewhere else in Orlando.
Yeah, lots of people coming up, giving us feedback about the podcast, both at the booth or following me on the floor or telling Shelley when she was walking around. It was really neat to be able to get a lot of amazing feedback everywhere we turned. It was either at the tweet up where Chansey and Jay and I were, or various places, even in the Hims recordings that we did for them. With Dave Wilkinson, there were people there that knew the show and were giving us lots of fantastic feedback, telling us what they've liked, what they haven't liked, what segments we could do. So it was neat because most of the time we don't get a voice to put next to feedback at blindbargains.com.
So I was at the AT guys booth, and the unfortunate thing about me being at the booth the whole time, and one of the few unfortunate things, is I'm at the booth the whole time, so I don't get to see all the cool stuff actually in the exhibit hall. Joe, you were out podcasting, and Chansey and Jeff, you were out looking or buying or whatever. So what did you guys see in the hall, tech-wise, or perhaps outside the hall as far as cool new things that we should know about?
A lot of people at the Freedom Scientific booth. I mean, a lot of people at the Freedom Scientific booth.
Just
a few.
Yeah,
they said they did over 300 upgrades and SMA sales on their first day with their Jaws and Magic super sale for the 75th anniversary.
Wow, in one day.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I've seen lines form in Detroit when the BookSense came out. I've seen lines form last year for the amazing prices for the Victor Reader Stream 2, but this was steady. I mean, constant people at the booth and several people taking down information. In fact, they had told me that I was going to have my order processed on Saturday, and it ended up being like Monday at noon Eastern time. So they were definitely surprised. Eric Damery was singing in the booth. I saw it. He was a very happy guy, very polite. and very, very thrilled, and said that this is just the beginning of some amazing things that as they start to reach out towards consumers rather than enterprise, a different kind of focus. And I think that's going to be really interesting moving forward.
And look at that. Even 300 copies of Jaws is only $22,000 at that price. Even if they sold 1,000 copies of Jaws, if my math is right, it's only $75,000. So what's the goal here? I mean, obviously, are they trying to get people in for the SMAs? Are they trying to just build goodwill? Or what was the ultimate, do we think, idea of behind doing all this?
Money on the table. You certainly don't want to leave it. They have started kind of that home to professional mode when they were kind of redesigning things for Jaws 16, in which home means this and professional means this now, where you're really upgrading features. It does seem like they're trying to meet the needs of what many have asked them to do before. I think this is definitely a good time for them to reach out to customers. And it was in their backyard. They didn't have to travel. That's always a positive for them. So it didn't really, just really bringing down all the computers and flying in all your reps. And that's really about it. So the cost of that show has always been a very good thing for them. But maybe again, you know, they're giving out a update to Jaws 16 that allows it to work with Windows 10. Maybe we'll see an update, you know, around SMA time for Office 2016, which looks like it might be later in the year. Maybe we won't. I mean, that might be a good telling point to know, do I have to buy the latest copy of Jaws to work with the latest copy of Office in Windows? That is going to probably be a good telltale sign.
You know, I wonder if Freedom Scientific perhaps looks at people who come to conventions as the connectors and the influencers, and that same demographic that's shifting ever more towards things like NVDA and VoiceOver and other alternatives, as the WebAIM survey is showing, maybe by putting this bargain in the hands of what they perceive to be connectors and influencers, they think that they will do something positive for market share. And I have to say, if that's their goal, at least for me, it worked. You know, I'm a diehard NVDA user. The last time I upgraded Jaws was to version 7. And since then, I've only used it professionally. And they got me. I did my upgrade, and I've got SMA through to number 18 now.
Are you using it?
I'm using it. I'm going back and forth because, you know, it just pays to know what's out there and how each one performs. And there are some things that I'm liking about it, particularly as regards Braille input and Braille output. So maybe it's a stab at maintaining some market share, and it may or may not be a winning strategy.
I did it because we needed Jaws for testing on contracts that we do at the house. So I'm in the same boat. But as an AT professional, you kind of have to. But there were still, I think, people who forget that there are a lot of people who see Jaws as their first screen reader, or it's the one I try first before going over to NVDA. And, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity to, you know, go ahead and have the latest and the greatest, because maybe they're back on 12 or 14 or what have you. And it was an amazing time not to walk away. I just really felt like if I didn't do this, and it's the way some people felt about KNFB Reader at $50 back in January, and then it was at $75 for the convention, that too saw some uptick. And it wasn't the only thing, because, I mean, really, Freedom coming out of the gate kind of put pressure on everybody else to come
up
with
different deals. There were a lot of deals. Yeah, you had $750 off some of the note takers. I mean, you're $5,000 humanware note takers, but still, that's a pretty big chunk for that. And then $75 off of the Stream and off of the Brilliant, things like that, which already was discounted. You know, I don't know. We're not the normal user. We are all in some capacity responsible or having the need to know about multiple screen readers. I was almost tempted, and I haven't used Jaws. I've never bought Jaws. And the fact that I could have bought it for $75, if I could have got away from the booth, I probably would have done it. Just to have it.
Shoot,
just,
you should have said something. I would have done that for you.
Just to test it. But, you know, as I said, I almost wanted it. But, yeah. You know, but I don't know. What about the – so this is interesting that also this ended up at NFB. They did a lot of sales at ACB, Jeff, but not that particular one. But was there still a lot of response over there? What were you seeing over at the Freedom booth or some of the other booths?
Well, I was pretty busy. I didn't get a great deal of time in the exhibit hall this year just because of things that were happening with me. So I really don't know. But the deals were definitely pretty nice for, you know, ACB convention goers as well. So – they really did offer.
Open Book and Magic, those were at least the same. And,
It was a little bit different. You had to buy hardware. You know, for example, you had to buy the camera, you know, to get Open Book, I believe. I don't
have $100, right? Here, it's irrelevant now. It's over.
But they were not as good, but they were very. It was nice. It was nice that they extended a hand to them, and I want to publicly thank Freedom Scientific for that. That was very commendable of them to do that. That was awesome.
And money was spent. Oh my gosh, Jeff, I don't know if you saw, but there was money being handed out constantly. Blind people are always said to be stingy or frugal, depending which way you want to play that. There was a lot of
buying going on.
Yeah, the ice had maybe, if not melted, it had definitely thawed some, and there was a lot of things being sold. I maybe because of the 75th for NFB's case, but it was definitely a lot of happy vendors. And that makes, just as inside baseball, we can't always get the interviews we want on the floor because sometimes the vendor is really busy, or they ask us to come back later, or there's just a crowd. All of that came into play at NFB. There were interviews that I normally would usually get, couldn't.
You didn't get me.
Those booths were busy.
We were so busy.
Yeah. It was really, really busy.
People know us anyway, but still, it's like.
Yeah, it was two full days, and usually sometimes you have a bit more time. Maybe you can get three full days in, but no, this year was the Monday and the Tuesday, and then you move to the 12 to 2s on Wednesday and Thursday, and not everybody shows up to those, not any of the big names that you might run into. But definitely a lot of big name talent was there in Orlando. Either they had come from Orlando going to Dallas in the midweek or vice versa. But there was a lot of big names at this show and, like I said, a lot of money.
This was a great year for Braille at the NFB convention for a couple of reasons. For one, on the convention agenda, it was discussed that there is in development a Braille display that may cost in the range of $500, and the National Center says that a product will be available next year.
Yes, we discussed that at ACB. In fact, the young man that started all of this was at our convention and spoke to us.
So Mr. Banerjee. You might
catch that in the archive. Yeah.
Yep.
He just was an amazing speaker for such a young guy that he is.
He's like 14 now, right? He's still barely into high school.
And I'll tell you something. He sounds totally different now. You'd never know that high-pitched, squeaky voice we heard a couple of years ago. I'm like, wow, is that the same guy? Because, man, he sounds like he's 25, you know?
That's some good media training. All right.
Pretty amazing stuff. All I can say is that kid's going somewhere, and his parents are just amazing people. It was just an incredible moment to watch him get up there and talk to us all about it. He went through the whole process of the, you know, evolution of it and everything. And he got an overwhelming response, you know, by the people in the room. It was fantastic.
And Microsoft is going to be working with him. Microsoft and Intel.
And Intel, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
So big names.
I will buy one.
Further along than I was. Absolutely. 14. You said for a couple of reasons.
I still liked Legos back then, if it counts.
You said for a couple of reasons, Chancey. What else?
Well, I think the product that the NFB National Center is working on is actually a display rather than a printer, right?
I
think it's a separate product.
Oh,
true. That's interesting. To clarify. Yeah, so
the claim is it's going to be a $500 display, and it's going to be here within a year. And if that happens, along with the printer, those will shake up the market if they're successful.
Yeah, you're talking about smokes. Braille for $1,000. $300 is the estimate for the embosser to go with the Braille display. And so, yeah, that's not too bad. I saw more people blowing that much money at the deli. No, actually, I heard food was much more expensive.
Yeah, I think that's the cost of an order of chicken strips and a drink.
or a banana and a cup of coffee, from what I saw Michael McCarty say on Twitter over in Dallas.
Well, you know what's bad when you take an Uber to go get McDonald's because you don't want to spend $25 for a hamburger. You spend $4 to go take an Uber.
It, just right there.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. My wife took Uber and brought us
Uber drive-thru. I've done it. Did it in Whataburger in Austin.
Yep. Absolutely. Oh, it was fantastic.
It is amazing. No,
yum. That is some good stuff. You can actually get the ketchup and mustard through HEB and have it shipped in case you're a big fan of Whataburger condiments, and several people are.
Anyway.
So there was more Braille there, not just the ones that we were mentioning just a second ago. Chansey, what did you see on the floor regarding Braille?
There were three new different kinds of displays from Perkins Products. I got an opportunity to chat with Brian McDonald, and he's working on the Braille to Go or B2G unit, which is a 20-cell display. It is based on Android and integrates a camera and quite a few other things. It uses the usual Android speech engine, and he says it's going to have a very long battery life, and it's going to cost around $2,500 and will be produced in the near future. I'm not sure how I feel about another dedicated Braille note taker that incorporates Android, but it'll be interesting to see how it does in the market. Then there was the very tiny Smart Beetle from Hims, a 14-cell display
that was super popular.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Can connect to, I believe, six or eight devices.
Six and one. The Beetle has six legs.
That's right.
So that's why.
So the thing that I thought was interesting about this one is that it will emulate a Bluetooth keyboard. So some of those issues that you come across with Braille and iOS that I'm always complaining about can be addressed by sending kind of arrow commands from a Bluetooth keyboard. And it'd be interesting to see if this display plays a little more nicely with iOS than its competitors. And then the last thing that I saw in the area of Braille that just kind of made me giggle and just like, not much surprises me in this field anymore. And this was just a moment of like total shock. The active Braille that plays music MIDI notes when you touch the Braille music.
That was something else.
I'm not a musician.
You can hear a demo of that or talk about that on our Triumph interview with Earl Harrison.
Yep. Cover it here and a little bit of CSUN too. I don't know. I'm not paying extra for that thing. And so just a little weird. The B2G.
Three USB devices can connect to it at the same time too. So you're,
I really hope the B2G works out. Now, the Braille Plus. The Braille Plus 18, I don't think that's a fair comparison. Like we can look at the Braille Plus 18 and say, whoa, that's proof that an Android device isn't going to work with, but there was a lot of things wrong with that device. And we're going to actually have to look into this some more because it looks like that's actually been discontinued. So there's actually perhaps more of a story behind that.
And at some point, they're going to have to choose something because Windows Mobile, which a lot of old classic note takers and current quote unquote generation note takers are running Windows Mobile still, they don't have the ability to move beyond that. A lot of them are going to have to face the gambit of Linux or looking at Windows, say, phone for lack of a better purpose, or Android. And Android is the easier and the more open source-ish kind of way of all of them that's really hardened, and unless they want to go straight up Linux.
There's a demand for a note taker for a certain segment as long as it is still clunky to do word processing and some of the other basic things that note takers do. It's still in some ways a bit clunky. It's getting better with Docs, and it's getting better with Office and some other things, but it's still probably another year off before it really sings well. And also looking at a lot of students, especially middle school, elementary school students, it is potentially less of a learning curve to teach a note taker than it is to teach a mobile operating system. So,
well, there are iPhone users yelling at us right now saying there's an app for that. And apps were everywhere all over the convention. And I heard about just recently an app that came out at ACB, Jeff.
Well, it's not out yet. It's in development, but we announced it at ACB. It started, my wife and I drove to Dallas from Arizona. And I'll tell you, it's true. Texas is an awfully big state. I will say that.
There is nothing around Fort Stockton. I'm just saying I've been through that several times going to San Diego, and that Fort Stockton drive, I'd rather take a beating with a very large packet of Braille paper than go through that drive again. There's a reason why actually, and this is honest to God, you can drive 85 miles per hour in that part of Texas because even Texas lawmakers know that there's nothing to see there. Just get through it as fast as you possibly can.
Well, and don't stay at the Days Inn in Van Horn, Texas,
You do. Oh, I know that one very well. In fact, that's where the first Chewy's is in Van Horn. Yeah, the steakhouse there is good.
Do you want to torture someone? Get them a reservation there. That's all I have to say about that.
I try to stay at Deming whenever I can, but that's too close for
me. Okay. With the app?
Oh, sorry.
Well, I know. Yeah, I'm getting there. So
I digress.
So we announced. Wow. So we announced the ACB iPhone app, which will be coming out by 2016.
And, guess who's writing it?
Yes,
Michael Deuss,
the developer of the blind. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And so we're already pretty far down that road. The app will basically encompass all of the ACB properties, you know, ACB Radio and ACB.org and the mall. And we're going to connect the app up so we can have people connect directly to affiliates and download podcasts and stream and all that fun stuff. So it's coming along, and I was really happy that the Arizona Council was able to fund the initial development of that. And then through talking with people at convention, we got quite a bit of commitment from other ACB members to keep development of that application going for quite some time to keep it up to date with Apple's yearly cycle of iOS releases. Mm. So we're very excited about that. I was happy that we were able to talk about that at the convention, and I think it's going to be a neat thing.
I think people underestimate sometimes the power of an app's outreach. You could just increase your exposure. You can increase information. It's a great distribution channel that you run, and it just is a good thing to have. No, some people would say, okay, that's a fragmentation. Aren't there too many apps? Yeah, but honestly, some people just want to stay within that silo and get the information that they feel very strongly about in a certain subject. So that's kind of neat.
And if you if you go on an app store or whatever, and you just search for, say, the word blind or blindness, it's kind of good to have, you know, because obviously, you know, NFB, we have the NFB app and Newsline app, and there's, I believe the AFB has an app. You know, it's good to have that kind of representation because people, you know, your website isn't going to show up in that search. Blind Bargains will.
Yeah, and AFB released a new app called Visual Connect just around the, you know, convention time. So that's kind of fun. And you know, one of the big key reasons that we wanted to get an app was so that we could get information pushed to our membership that's vital to them, especially on advocacy issues. And so we're going to be able to do that too. We have to be careful, you know, just like you stated, JJ, about making sure we're not pushing too many things to them.
You know, you don't people want them to feel very strongly about push notification.
Myself included.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you just have to be careful about that, you know. So.
So yeah,
That was good.
Saw Chris Morey at NFB, who we had on a show a couple weeks ago, and he was hanging around the Target booth a lot, showing off the Say Shopping app, which we demoed a couple weeks ago, and it seemed to get a really good
very good
reception that we could do online.
There
shopping.
Was another app too at ACB. Called LowViz.
Yeah, LowViz guy.
Using beacons. Shelly did a demonstration. Yeah. Did you have a chance to use it yourself?
I did. I definitely think it's a beta product. It was a little too chatty for me. And so it made it sort of difficult, especially if you had lots of people around you talking. And of course, that's always happening at convention time. So I think that they will refine it and they'll make it better. But wow, was it a first?
You know how it works from a technical standpoint? Because there's several of these ideas popping up lately. I'm trying to wrap my head around this one.
They did some mapping in the website. I did the show note for that one. In the links that I posted, they are sponsored events. So it sounds kind of like what the wayfinding thing, Click and Go. Remember Click to Go or Click and Go Maps. It's kind of the same kind of thing where they come out and they do a mapping per se, and then the beacons and put that all together so that way it works with your device when you get there. And it talks about how to get sponsorship for big events and being able to do that. So it does sound like it's a work in progress, and it may be related to some places that would maybe underwrite. And I, again, apologize if I get this wrong, but it appears to be from the way that I was reading it on the website that you're kind of getting some funding and then they come out and they do all the work and then it's all ready to go when you get there. But I mean, that doesn't mean that a place couldn't do it, like, let's say an airport or shopping mall or what have you.
Well, the way he did it was he used 60 iBeacons and they were placed in different locations on the four floors that were the main focal point of the convention. And then the funny thing is that he had to use an Android device to actually do the mapping, which I thought, wait a minute, this is very strange. So I just thought that was sort of an odd thing. And then it uses tones to sort of direct you, you know, the higher the pitch, the, you know, you're veering off course. And if there's no sound, then you're on course and it vibrates. Kind
of reminds
as well.
Me of the Seeing Eye app in that respect.
Yeah. Or the old, you know, sonar glasses mm-hmm. thing, you know, from the 80s, you know.
Agreed.
So, boy, does that take us back, huh? And Joe?
man, sadly, you made the reference and sadly I got it. So, yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, iBeacon's in a newer Apple device and that kind of picks it across and mm-hmm. you can find your way to a specific navigatable POI within the building. And of course, indoor mapping being the thing that is probably the next big, probably the next big venture for things. Google, in fact, the day of the recording, announced that they have something that's very similar to iBeacons coming out soon. Mm-hmm. So it does look like NFC is taking on the role we all hoped it would later in life. But that's great. I'm very happy to have these two big companies copy one another. And if one thinks they have found a way, then the other one wants it. Great. I mean, where are the benefits for it? Because it's technology that we would use, just like Uber. There were people testing or learning or finding out about Uber and Lyft for the first time at convention, be it to McDonald's, like we heard earlier, or taking it to any one of the various places you could go to as a tourist. It was neat for people to feel the elation of independence, to be able to get up and go somewhere when they wanted to get up and go there. And I ran into a lot of first-time NFPers that in their area didn't have any car service or ride-sharing services. So they were just amazed. And Mike May was at the booth, Uber. I have an interview on Blind Bargains, and he gives us some tips and ideas about that. It is definitely a work in progress. There were some people reporting in Orlando on Twitter that they had gotten denied because of their service animals, which is a shame. But it seems like Uber is going to take a hard stance towards that and start to crack down, mainly because they were getting sued. Ha ha ha. But they do seem to be having a dialogue with people. And they weren't the only company doing dialogues.
They had a focus group, I believe. Yeah, I was there. I don't think you were, Chancey. They had a... Uber and Lyft both had focus groups at NFB, and I don't want to say, since it was a focus group, there's generally assumed a fair amount of privacy for what was said in that, so I, you know, want to respect that, but there was a lot of ideas tossed around, and one of the ones that was kind of, you know, about how to best connect the driver to the person that they're picking up, especially if you're blind, you can't see where the pin is, where the driver is currently on the map, so are there ways textually or otherwise to kind of say, all right, you're, you know, instead of showing on the map, all right, your driver is on Main Street, 250 feet east of Fifth Avenue, perhaps other ways of expressing that information. So that was, you know, some of the different things that came out of that. It was probably split between talking about features and everything from current things that need to be fixed, like the, you know, the maps and things like that. And some of the kind of future pie in the sky ideas as far as, you know, what would be the, you know, your pie in the sky idea for, you know, for the future of Uber. But it's really interesting. A lot of expert users, expert as in people who have taken more than 500 Uber rides, looking at you, Mika, we're in that group. there were lots of people who obviously have lots and lots and lots of experience there. And, you know, Uber was there last year and it's, you know, it's hard to tell, how much of, you know, from a focus group gets into the app, but we, you know, they definitely, the people that were there seemed quite receptive. And I think the dialogue is moving forward and things are getting fixed. There was, we almost got denied. I was with Mike May, and he almost got denied, and we were with him and some of the Uber people. I'm like, no, this would be the wrong time for you to deny.
Of all the people.
And they saw, like, they were wearing Uber t-shirts. Like, no, I don't think you want to deal with this right now, buddy.
Chancey, did you get a chance to go to the Microsoft or any of the other focus groups that were kind of out and about, Google or others?
No, I wasn't able to go to any focus groups, although I did get to chat with Google for a little while at their booth and take a look at their new Chromebooks and Nexus devices.
That Pixel 2.
Yes. Nice looking Chromebooks. Still the same
Chrome
screen reader and speech engine, so... I think I was more focused on the apps and the Android devices. Now, Google got a resolution passed NFV passed a resolution commending Google's accessibility work in the past year and strongly encouraging them to continue pushing forward and making more progress in the area of accessibility. So that's a far cry from where we were a year ago when many of the core Google apps were inaccessible on most platforms.
Yeah. Shout out to Roger Benz, who listens to the show, and Laura and Kieran and some others that were at the booth. I heard the conversation about that as well, and several people who had said that that was a bad thing. We'll table resolutions and come back to it after the break, but definitely something that I know
that's
people
a perfect
feel
choice of words there. I appreciate that.
Coming up after the break, we'll do a little bit about the Microsoft thing. Jeff and I have a little bit to say about that. We'll talk about the Apple, how it went over there with ACB having an Apple presentation. And we'll get into a little bit more about resolutions, all of that, and possibly more, right after this word from Hims.
Hims is proud to present Smart Beetle, our ultra-portable 14-cell Braille display. Smart Beetle is pocket-sized and packed with power. Smart Beetle can connect to 6 devices simultaneously, flip between your iPhone, computer, and other screens without having to reconnect. And Smart Beetle, through its Bluetooth keyboard emulator, allows you to write in contracted Braille on items such as Android devices that otherwise wouldn't support it. Want to know more? Call Hims at 888-520-4467 or visit our website at www.hims-inc.com. Hims, your needs are our solutions.
Welcome back, everyone, to our wrap-up show of the NFB and ACB conventions 2015. You know, raise an umbrella to everyone. I told Jay I should have totally, maybe I will. I'll give to Patrick 10,000 umbrellas from XTC, from Oranges and Lemons to play in the background here. The GWR, huh? There was, what was it? I saw more than 2,400.
2,480 was the total. Yeah. You know, I'm glad. I was really not.
And this was a world record.
It was a Guinness World Record for the most of the largest umbrella mosaic. And I wasn't going to do it at first. I really like, oh, this is the cheesiest thing ever. And, you know, kind of looking at it, it's one of those events that after I did it, I'm glad I participated in it because it is one of those, it's one of those expressions of just kind of organizational unity. You know, when you pretty much have everybody from the convention in some way that comes out for that single event. And, you know, hey, someone asked me at one point, hey, do you have an idea for what kind of record we could break at NFB? And I couldn't think of anything at the time. So I guess that kind of takes me off the, I guess, you know, if I didn't have any better idea. And you're partly limited by what records there are to break. And, you know, after it was done, looking at the at how it's shaped down and, you know, it is kind of an expression of our you know, our tagline, live life you want. And, you know, I'm glad I did it, you know. I don't really have too much else to say about it, but it was a cool event and a good way to also get rid of 3,000 umbrellas.
that's true. And it's something that people can do. They can either, you know, raise it or tie it to a cane or tie it to a chair or
5 minutes was a long time though, man. I didn't realize we were going to hold them. They didn't tell you that part ahead of time until we held them up.
Guinness is serious about that. Guinness has people that actually do, you know, monitor and rate and all of that. They are very serious about the records. Speaking of serious, Microsoft was very serious. Ann Taylor has joined Microsoft, and she came back to the convention with many, many people from Microsoft in tow who were very receptive. I think that's the word I want to use most about what was going on with Microsoft and accessibility and how they could improve. There was a lot of meaningful dialogue, and I'm really, honestly, I'm being absolutely direct here. I didn't hear much of the raise the white cane in anger kind of stuff. There was really a nice dialogue. Microsoft was very polite. People who spoke to them were generally polite or asking questions. I myself was in a focus group and then asked to stay after the next day to do a Windows Insider conversation about Windows 10. I've been using Windows 10 since, you know, October, as you've heard me mention on the podcast. A lot of my things that I was bringing to relay to them, they had actually knocked out in a build the week before. So there was this one particular one with a touchscreen that they had actually got right before I left Texas to come to Orlando. So I was kind of more into the user experience at that point and what it was like to be an insider. And I too am going to step away from some of the stuff that Jay was talking about as a focus group. What I will say is that they did hear things about the ribbon, a lot of things about the ribbon. They understand a lot more about the ribbon than I think they did before, but from a more congenial and honest perspective rather than, I hate it, which doesn't really get anything anywhere. There were three focus groups. There was one on home, which talks about how did you use your technology in the home. There was one for the workplace and one for students. And that was the three places that they were mostly concentrating on. Some discussion about Office 365 and how you would read some of that from both the work and student perspective. They had focus groups going on constantly. They spoke at computer science. And it, like I said earlier, it was really what kind of launched it. And Jeff and I were talking about this offline. Robert Sinclair released an article prior to convention that kind of gave you a preface as to what would or would not work in Windows 10. And that was a touch point. I don't know if he was thinking about the guys coming to convention and getting a face full of information, but it was definitely an article worth reading if you're considering Windows 10. If you don't need to jump to Windows 10 or any update, doesn't matter, iOS 9, what have you, don't wait. Let those who have angels who fear not to tread jump in there with both feet and come back and tell you whether you should or shouldn't. At this point, I'm very much on the fence of you should wait if you can wait. There's no need for you to go crazy. You can reserve your copy and tell it not to install if you've seen that down in your sys tray, but you don't have to go uber crazy. Now, if you're an AT professional or a trainer, you don't have a choice. July 29th is coming up, and it's going to be a bumpy ride as we take off.
Another thing that's really taken off this year is Android apps. Two of them in particular that really focus on reading. The Bard mobile app is now available for Android, and NLS was there. And KNFB Reader.
For Android.
Yes. Is now owned by the Federation and is, I believe, not quite out yet, but coming out very soon for Android. Yeah,
it's close. It's definitely in beta. I can't say much because I have the thing, but it definitely but it is nearby to release, and it seems like and it's going to pretty much operate the same as the iOS. And also, did it get mentioned? I know it's been kind of talked about, but I know the iOS version is getting some updates down the pipe as well.
Yes, for Bard is going to have a sleep timer, which will make everybody.
Oh, finally!
Yes, many people have been wanting the sleep timer, yeah. So it took that 2 years. Is coming. Just okay. A bit. So
hey, thank you. Sorry. Thank you for
mid to late August is the target, I think, for iOS.
Set a sleep timer for 6 weeks.
Yes, that's tell Siri right now. Absolutely. So there was definitely that. Speaking of Apple, it seems like there was a great big event in Dallas. Jeff, you were able to attend the Apple event with a very big star in accessibility.
Yeah, I actually had some comments about the Windows thing, but do you want to?
No, we can circle back. That's totally fine. So we can edit, to talk about Microsoft?
Yeah, we can edit, right? I mean, Patrick, you can.
Oh no, we're not editing. We're just going. Go go go.
We're not
live.
Editing.
We are live. we're not Memorex, but that would take too much effort. So what do you got about Windows?
Well, I was just going to say, let me start by saying this: that I really want to commend the accessibility team at Microsoft because, you know, they have been ahead of this and very upfront about where the issues are as far as AT products. And for that, I'm really happy. And that's really, really good. There was a resolution passed at ACB that basically talked about Rob Sinclair's points in his article and asked Microsoft to take another look at their business practices to see how they can improve, how they might be able to ensure better accessibility when products are released, as opposed to getting Edge more accessible, getting their email client more accessible, et cetera, et cetera. Rob Sinclair suggested that people buy Microsoft Outlook or a third-party utility. And I don't know about you guys, but we've been dealing with Windows Live Mail and some really, really interesting email clients as far as Windows 7 and Windows 8 are concerned. And I really wish that we could have done better with the Windows 10 email client, for example. I don't think the answer is asking people to buy Office or to buy Microsoft Outlook. And so what our resolution said was, at least at a minimum until you get this fixed, then Microsoft should do something to give Microsoft Outlook to consumers who want an email client that works. And I know that this is a controversial thing, but I don't know.
Seems like it makes sense. I mean, if that's the way to provide access to
right, that's how I looked email. At it.
I mean, I use Thunderbird. Yeah. I mean, but whatever.
Right,
that's irrelevant here. I mean, yeah. If
just to play devil's advocate, I did with Jeff earlier this week. If you did buy a copy of Office, then you would have WindowWise, because then there's WindowWise for Office. And again, I'm not taking that as a position. This is just a devil's advocate. But
so,
and somebody might be familiar with NVDA or JAWS. And,
right.
But how
so do that's you, not really the answer. The answer right. is that you shouldn't force people to buy another product that because you didn't get accessibility right. Now, I'm not blaming the accessibility team here. I think the issue is that Microsoft is dealing with an entirely different paradigm now as far as development of software. And so they're going to have to relearn how to make sure that accessibility is baked in on release, or at least brought into the cycle somehow, so that this doesn't happen again. And I think that's why I'm saying that the accessibility team is awesome. I mean, I know many of them personally, and they're just amazing people. I don't think it has anything to do with them. They bust their butt for us, and we should all be singing their praises. I just wish that someone within Microsoft can work on changing the strategy where accessibility is more of a core focus. It would be like saying we're only going to make Windows fill half a screen, you know, because we couldn't get the driver right, you know, on a monitor, and we'll ship it that way, you know. So
they did break up the team per se and assign people to different departments. Right. So yeah, there's actually somebody on the Office team under accessibility. There's someone under Edge for accessibility. There's someone under apps in the store for accessibility. So there is a little bit of a thing where you don't finish it and then give it to the accessibility team for a check right, down.
That's the approach Google's doing now too.
Exactly.
And I think that's better than others.
Incorporation.
Yeah, and that's good. It's the better approach when it works. Yes.
That's good. And I think you're going to see other Windows 10 features that are not going to ship, that are not ready. So this is not just accessibility. But this.
And I did tell Jeff that the Mail app is a usability train wreck. It is not very usable. So we're not missing out. we are to what Jeff is saying. I don't want to discount what Jeff is saying. Yeah. But
we should have equal access to the train wreck.
Yes, we should know, just like everybody else, how many cars have derailed, and he is right in that direction. And some people like Inbox, and some people like Google Gmail. I myself am going back to Gmail because I've tried to live with Inbox for a month, and I just not my thing. But there are some people who like that simplified swipe left, swipe right way. And for a tablet, Mail in Win10 may be just better, but for those of us who primarily use keyboards, it's not a fun time. It is a real difficult thing to use. And Microsoft Edge, like what Jeff was referring to, one of the things in the article was set window IE 11 in your defaults.
That's going
to
be
so
a problem.
You don't use Microsoft Edge. That to me is a bigger travesty. Problem. And those who've listened to this program have heard me whine about that for 7 months. That is not anything new for those who have listened to Blind Bargains Cast, because the minute that man back in January drew on the screen with a circle and an arrow and then pointed and said, "Now my team knows what I'm highlighting," I went, "Oh, that's going to be horrible for us." The last thing I wanted is people to be able to draw on Canvas emoticons, and that just screams no access to us. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said there. And I've watched a lot of the web professionals out there. By that, I mean people who work a lot on HTML or ARIA, what have you, to make it more accessible, hit a stone wall when it comes to this. There is a bit of a hush and pause and wait, because not everybody's going to jump to Windows 10.
No.
A significant amount of the consumer space might. And that's really what it's going to come down to, because then we're going to have a schism. They're testing for three browsers again. They're literally testing for Canvas in Edge, and then Internet Explorer 11, and then Firefox.
The cool thing about Windows 10, though, is that I think we're going to see a number of fixes more quickly as it relates to accessibility
due
to this rapid development cycle. And so that I'm hugely excited about. And my advice to people is, you know, wait as long as you can. You have a year to upgrade. Why not wait until next June? Get, you know, let your AT vendor and Microsoft catch up and let everybody else bang their head against the wall and fight things through. And wait, there's no reason to move unless you absolutely have to or you get a new PC. So
you've been sitting on Office 2003 all this time. There's no reason to upgrade.
2003, yikes.
There are people who really hate to complain.
I can't open this file. You know,
by the way, did you guys notice that Office 16 for the Mac came out and it works with VoiceOver?
Yes. And just another example of how some people make overarching statements or deride an entire company, and you can't do that. I mean, there are portions of it that do extremely well. These guys are monoliths. You know, they're talking about running Windows on a billion devices. That is not an understatement.
That's really exciting to see, because that was one of the biggest people that would ask me, students that would ask me, should I get a Mac? And that was always my answer, because we all
need Office.
Oh, you can run a virtual machine. Yeah, well, then just get Windows. But obviously,
Outlook is awesome on the Mac. I haven't tested it yet, but I hear it just really is good.
So. The funniest thing, and Tom Merritt touched on this on Daily Tech News Show, but I've heard it other places, is that people have had trouble getting used to using Control rather than Command for a lot of keyboard commands.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we all know why that happened, but he said that that's the funny thing is his mental synapses tell him to use Command on a Mac. And so I've heard a lot of people who are not Tom Merritt say very much the same thing, that if they were keyboard driven, then it's kind of been a little bit of a learning curve. But other than that, I've heard nothing but positive things so far on Twitter and other places about that for the Mac. That was really cool. But you did go to the Apple event.
I did.
Getting back to where we were a second ago. How did that go?
That was really good. It was standing room only. I think we would have gotten in trouble with the fire marshal if they ever showed up. Sarah Herlinger was there, the head of Apple Accessibility. And wow. You know, she kind of did the same presentation that she did at AFB, which was pretty much all about the Apple Watch. But the really neat thing about the presentation was not so much her presentation, although it was fantastic. It was the interaction from the audience and her getting feedback about people's experience inside of Apple stores and the concerns that people had about people not knowing about VoiceOver on the watch and all of this stuff. And it was a really, really good exchange of ideas back and forth. It was fantastic. I literally got there 2 minutes before it started and I had to sit in the back of the room and could barely hear her. That's how packed it was. But everyone seemed very, very excited about it. And I was, of course, wearing my Apple Watch. And the number of people that stopped me and how they knew I had one, I'm not sure. But and wanted to see the Apple Watch was kind of amazing. So
I didn't get that Apple Edition, right?
No. I got the Sport. No.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, it was very, very good. And we were delighted that Apple came and spoke to our group. It was fantastic.
While we have, just for a brief second, has that helped you medically wise? I know that was one of the things you wanted to get an Apple Watch for, not just because it's cool and it's an Apple thing and da 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 da. You had some real health reasonings for wanting to do that. Have you found that being a very helpful device for you?
Well, that's funny that you mentioned that. Those things are starting to come into play for me. So I'll have a lot more to say about that in the next month or so. But it's been a learning process of determining which devices to get and to make sure they can communicate with the watch. And then, of course, going to convention kind of delayed things. And so I can't speak to it too much yet, but, you know.
So revisit you in a month.
Yeah.
Jay, pull up the calendar. Let's put you in a month.
there's two or three devices that are in play here, and I can talk about them a little bit later. But and it all starts tomorrow afternoon, actually, which is kind of interesting. So, yep.
I did not know that. I stumbled right into that. The same way that I would tell you to eat healthy. Many people probably did not at the banquet. There were two different feelings about the banquet that I could read on Twitter. I was either working on audio or was flying back at the time of some of this was happening. And reading things from afar, there were definitely some feelings about NFB and ACB. Chansey, did you have a chance to go to the banquet?
Yes, I did attend the banquet.
So reading online, I was reading from afar, it seemed like there was definitely a feeling in the room for both speeches. Jay, you were in Orlando. Did you happen to be there for President Riccobono's speech? And can you give an idea of the room? Because it seemed like from Twitter, it was a humdinger, like people who weren't even NFB people were talking about it.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I guess my expectations, you never know what you're going to get for banquet speech. One, listening to Dr. Maurer's speeches over time, while there's definitely been some great speeches over the years, sometimes they sound similar to ones that you've heard before. You know, and not to discount any of the speeches that he's done, but he was president for 28 years. So you have many, many banquet speeches and other speeches over time. And there was definitely a contrast between the speech that Dr. Maurer gave during general session and the speech that President Riccobono gave at banquet. And the one thing I appreciated about it, and, you know, I'm a very ADD person, so any speech that's almost an hour long, regardless of who it's giving it, I don't care. It could be Steve Jobs. You know, sometimes I'm, you know, kind of zoning in and out a little bit. This is how it is. This is how I am. It seemed like the language used was a lot simpler and maybe made it a little more accessible to those who might have been put off by sometimes you have big words and things, you know, ideas thrown around. I think, you know, for a first effort, I was pretty impressed. You know, over time, I think he will, if you go back to Dr. Maurer's first banquet speech and you compare it to his last banquet speech, you will hear a difference in cadence. You will hear a difference in how he presents himself. And these speeches are just as much about how you present what you want to say along with how you, you know, what you're actually saying. It's really about a bit of both. So I saw what you saw on Twitter. There's certainly a lot of, good reaction about it for the first one. The approach always, by the way, and that's what I would send this over to you, Jeff. It's interesting to me, the different approaches, and it's not a for better or worse thing. It's, I don't know, NFB always has their president speak at the banquet, where ACB does a completely different approach. It's kind of more of an entertainment celebration. Well, I mean, they're both celebrations, but ACB does a little bit different, where it's kind of, you bring in someone from the community, and there's a different speaker every year. And this year it was Christine Ha, the blind cook. And so you were there, I'm assuming.
Yep, I was there. That was very interesting. She didn't speak that long, but the interaction with the audience was even longer. And it was lots of really great questions. I think the bigger part of the banquet for me was just the interaction of our people with the audience and the awards that were given out. It was a pretty rambunctious banquet. Well, it was very loud in there. It was very, very loud. And that's quite different than what we have heard in past years. So it was very fun to listen to. I was sitting at the ACB
radio
table.
Possibly the cheapest meal they had. So it was, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it was kind of expensive. Well, no, it's all relative, I suppose.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you were saying, and I derailed you there.
No, that's fine. I was sitting at the ACB radio table and making sure the stream was working. So that's where I was. And I was up at the front where the speakers were. And so if I didn't have a hearing problem before the banquet, I kind of did afterward. It was pretty darn loud.
Social media was kind of not polite to the chef. There were a lot of people who didn't like her tone or her candor, or that she wasn't as uplifting or motivative.
I
know that's always subjective because you're not in the room and feeling the vibe. I mean, it's like listening to a live concert, you know.
I had different expectations of her.
When you bring in a famous blind person, sometimes there's always that assumption that they're going to give a great speech and inspire other blind people. And I guess that's the risk you take in that situation. We had went to the Blast conference. Scotty McIntyre from American Idol spoke. And it was a pretty, you know, he had a good message. But perhaps, you know, it certainly was a little cliche to blind people who have heard, you know, messages like that before. It was a great speech for sighted people about reaching out for your dreams and things like that. But I could see, you know, and it's kind of, you know, you don't really know what you're going to get when you bring in, I could see, CSUN has Tommy Edison, the blind film critic. You know, you just don't know.
Yeah, about a year ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you'll get really good speakers and sometimes you have people that happen to be famous blind people but have a terrible message.
I think the message was okay. I just think that she's not, I don't think that she's used to presenting as much as that I thought she might have been, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't mean that other than she's a chef.
I'm not meaning
she only became a celebrity recently because she won a contest.
Right.
I mean, right. Correct. So she doesn't have those skills necessarily. Right. You know, you want a reality.
But she is doing some work with AMI up in Canada. So she is doing some presentation work. But that's a different thing entirely, too.
I think my favorite speech of the whole convention was Tom Bickford's. He's been a member of the Federation for 60 years. And he talked about, I believe the title was something along the lines of leading and singing in the Federation. So he told a lot of stories and he gave us little snippets of songs throughout the years, throughout the movement. And he sounds kind of like a blind Arlo Guthrie. And he just seemed so authentic and down to earth and really connected me to the history in a way that nothing else really did that week. He's got a great personality and a great story. And along those same lines, on the Friday morning, we got to hear some new songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. JJ, you might have had a little something to do with that.
I wasn't that. Yes, it was a whole bunch of us got together. Myself, James Brown, who's the president of Tennessee, J.P. Williams, who is a singer-songwriter extraordinaire, actually wrote a song on the new Cannon Smith album, and Richie Flores, who is from Texas. We got together and wrote some new NFB music. A lot of times... Oh, you mentioned Tom. A lot of times there is a lot of great, you know, old Federation songs or just songs in general that represent organizations. And they were meant for picket lines and you know, kind of demonstrating our current cause at the time. And they're really, I mean, there certainly is a place for them and there's some awesome music there. But a lot of times when you say, oh, we're going to do songs about blindness, you get these groans like, oh, man, these are going to sound awful. So I think part of our goal is to say, how can we take music to express our message and make it sound hip and relevant and kind of encompass, you know, let's try a whole bunch of different styles and different types of music. And that was kind of the goal. So we ended up with a 15-piece vocal choir. We had a drummer, bass guitar, lead guitar, you know, a saxophone guy, and a full band. It was a crazy rehearsal to set the whole thing up because, well, you know how these things go, Jeff. You have to, like, we had sound guys coming in bringing all sorts of microphones and monitors and mixers and all sorts of things, then trying to figure out how to get that sound to sound at least reasonable for a room of 2,500 people. So it was an event. It was crazy, but it was definitely an experience I'll never forget. It was really cool.
It sounded great, and apparently all the music's going to wind up on iTunes. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, it'll be on iTunes, and if you hate iTunes, it'll be on Amazon.
And there you go. What? No Google Play?
Oh, it'll be there, too. It'll be on all of them.
All right. I was going to say, I hate all of them equally. No, I'm kidding. I was shocked that I ran into people who said, you know, my first convention was 42 years ago, or I haven't been to convention in 30 years. There were so many people that were saving and waiting to come to the 75th. And numbers, what was it? 2813, I think, yes, for registered, which beats, I think, last year was 2,200.
And that's who actually bothered to register. I mean, there's always a few that kind of...
that straggle through or don't know or...
Yeah, or they register themselves or not their kids or one of the other.
It felt more like it did at the first Rosen Shingle several years ago. It felt very big, and I understand. I think that's where we are next year is Rosen Shingle.
Yeah.
The shopping mall that shows up like a hotel, which is very interesting.
We're at Shingle, and I believe is ACB in Minneapolis, Jeff? Is that the...
Ooh. Minnesota in July is beautiful, actually.
Well, hey, you know what? It's always, well, Florida in July is
hot
and rainy.
Yes.
Well, you are inside a lot,
going to see Harry Potter. Lots of people going to see Harry Potter. The resolutions are a big part of convention, and many people feel very strongly about them or feel that it represents an organization or their outlook for the rest of the year, if not until the next following convention. Certainly this year was no different. Jeff had talked a little bit about the resolution earlier. Jeff, were there any other big resolutions that were on the table or ones that you want to cover to make sure people know about issues that might be facing us as blind individuals in our community in 2015/2016?
I don't think so. One of the things that I'm going to try to do next year is make our resolutions more visible on the web. Part of the problem is that they're created throughout the week of convention, and that makes it really challenging, but I want
to
see
that's really helped us to donate the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's nice to have them in front of you.
Exactly. So I want to see what we can do to maybe fix that process somehow. I'm not exactly sure how, but that's something I definitely want to try to do. But, you know, there
was some similarities. There was both resolutions at both conventions about Greyhound.
Yes, absolutely. Lots of talk about that on the floor of the convention, as well as in just private conversations walking around. Lots of people very upset about that. So I was happy to see that that happened.
So is it because of the website or the services or
the website, customer apps. Service?
Getting charged if you make a phone call.
Super Shuttle. I had that.
Right.
Super Shuttle charged $2 more if you decided to do a phone call. And they actually did respond on Twitter very favorably. But
yeah, I think you know, I heard in the halls that some people
shame a company if you can have a dialogue.
Yeah, I heard in the halls that some people were having that issue. I haven't personally experienced that, but you know, just trying to get them to be a little more responsive to us and so
kind of like what happened with Amtrak years ago. It almost seems very similar. Well, Jeff, I know you've got to run, and I appreciate you being able to take time away from your family, and you got a bunch going on. You are a busy councilman after all, so I know that. I'm very happy you could slide us into the Apple calendar. But no, really, we appreciate you stopping by and giving us what happened in Dallas. Tell everyone how they can find you and what are some places to get hold of you at.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Bishop, JeffBishop, or you can drop me an email at jeff@jeffbishop.com and be happy to get back to you. So thanks for having me, guys. It's been a lot of fun, and hope to do it again soon.
Cheerio.
About a month and a month or so away. I already marked you in the calendar. Okay, we're going to talk about some healthy things, man. I guess. Sounds cool.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Man.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Jeff. Okay, Chansey, it's just us here now, Jay and myself and you. What were you saying a moment ago? You were going to...
Oh, I was gonna ask Jeff if they had an Amazon resolution this year.
I don't believe because I was looking through.
I don't think it was.
Somebody was live tweeting their resolutions, and I was looking through them. I see we had one on WhisperCast.
Oh, like the Whisper Sync?
Whisper Sync. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was happy to see that the resolutions were online to consider this year, and the final resolutions went up online right away. I think that's a great improvement, a great innovation that we've made in the past couple of years, and it happened once again. And I'm glad that they were all there because there were 29 of them to consider.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. I noticed a really positive trend where companies that we have sued, worked with, or both in the past couple of years who are now doing really positive things around accessibility are getting shout outs and commendations. So Smarter Balance has a consortium looking at accessibility now. Cardtronics has a center of excellence. And then, of course, there was the resolution that we talked about aimed at Google's efforts towards accessibility. So it's nice to see that balancing out the resolutions about problems, there are resolutions about solutions,
Netflix,
providing thanks and encouragement going forward. I think that's great. Now, we did have some nice condemns and deplores, among them some very pointed ones directed at Amazon for continuing to market their products in the educational market when those products are by and large very inaccessible, specifically the Kindle and WhisperCast.
Yeah. And of course, then there's things like the Paperwhite that have no speakers on it whatsoever.
Oh gosh, yeah. So, I count four. Where we condemned and deplore people. Kiosks, got to condemn and deplore, which makes sense. Yes. And another kiosk on the Social Security
Administration kiosks, yes, which apparently are not readily accessible.
Where, and again, that's another example of a government organization with kiosk. I don't think the Amtrak ones are either. That stuff kind of baffles me. We, several that kind of makes sense, talking about Braille on Android and Windows Phone, which is certainly something that doesn't work well or doesn't work at all on Windows Phone. To my knowledge. And one that was voted down regarding your right to own a guide dog if you get it from a guide dog school. Some schools let you own your guide dog after that, and some schools don't. And the convention decided, I agreed with that, you know, you kind of have the right to choose the schools that cater to the needs of you. Of course, I'm not a dog owner. But
neither am I. My girlfriend is, but I am not. So I abstain. I know Buddy Brandon would have a huge standpoint. Maybe we can get Buddy to say something or drop in a comment or something here. later.
Yeah, I don't know if you have an opinion, Chancy, or if you were just kind of meh.
I'm happy about the way that it turned out for a couple of reasons. For one, I have seen situations where a dog is either being poorly treated or perhaps not doing the job to which he or she has been trained up. And it is a big investment, a $50,000 or $60,000 investment on the part of the school and the funders. Anytime you get something for free, whether it's a house you want on a game show or a scholarship or any kind of great opportunity, generally, whoever's making that happen for you has the right to impose terms and conditions because they're entering into a partnership with you and making a huge investment. And as much as I usually support anything and everything that supports the autonomy of blind people, guide dog schools enter into a really special partnership with you. And I think it's totally appropriate for there to be some point where control is mutual. And the other thing is you do have a choice of schools and you can go to a school that has policies that you agree with. And perhaps the answer is going forward, maybe someday we'll have a different model of guide dog school that's centered around federation principles and philosophy. That's a possible thing. Maybe our reaction to this model should be that another model needs to exist. But I think when you are entering into this very kind of special collaboration, there's a mechanism in place that does make sense. And I don't think we should resolve against it. And I'm really glad we didn't.
Do you feel as a blind guide dog owner that there is a place for a federation training center that is a little more dog focused? Is that something would it jive? Do you think too many people against it?
I don't think that there would be too many people against it. I think that the folks that are against it could go ahead and not attend a center like that. I think that we might want to integrate more positive training around dog handling into existing centers because I'm not sure we would want to have one special destination for people who are dog handlers. I don't think we want to
almost like a segregation
divide
thing.
Yeah. Users and dog handlers any more than they already are. But I think we could definitely strengthen the competence and confidence of teams that include a guide dog by incorporating some new innovative practices into existing centers. And that there might be maybe a pilot in one of the existing centers where that starts out. I would be really excited if Louisiana Tech would do some research around best practices and for dog handlers.
I'm excited that we're having a conversation about this period because 10 years ago, you know, the organization was actually very much labeled an anti-service animal organization. There were people who felt very strongly like it's the white cane or nothing else. I think that changed around Detroit in 2009. Certainly, we have more of a youth-oriented focus now than before. I definitely feel like the organization is starting to change. I think that was reflected in that speech we talked about earlier. Whenever a new president takes over, let's say in the United States, it usually takes 2 years for that guy to undo whatever the other guy did for 4 years. Even more so if he was there for two terms, be that Republican or Democrat, I'm not siding either way. You know, 28 years, whatever, you know, President Riccobono sees as positives or negatives or things he wants to change, there's inertia. There's a lot of momentum. And I think prior to his installation, there was some active movement to start shifting. And again, I point to 2008, 2009. I point to Youth Slam. I point to a lot of things that kind of have changed the makeup to get us to have this debate that we're having right now. Because I honestly didn't think I would see this soon.
I'm not sure if undo is the right word. Because I don't want to diminish the, you know, the steps forward that have been made over the past 20 years. You mentioned Youth Slam. That's a huge one. A lot of the youth came from those programs. You know, Newsline was developed in the 90s. You have the opening of the National Center was in the past 10 years. So I don't want to diminish what has happened. I do think it's important to realize that there are different ways of doing things. And seeing President Riccobono, for instance, tweeting from General Session and kind of engaging the members, you know, that way. Some of the more modern methods, it's just, you know, well, he's more a tech person, so you get that. But it's not just him. There's others, you know, someone like Natalie Shaheen, who's really, you know, invested in, you know, educational programs and things like that. And to the point about being, you know, we get labeled as an anti dog organization.
This, or yeah, anti- you know, that. So just general label that.
Well, right. Well, so, and sometimes I think those you have, if you have certain people in authority positions that have a personal opinions, sometimes those opinions get turned into organizational opinions. And there certainly, you know, has been some of those over the years. So that it's so easy for an organization, whether it's NFB or ACB or whatever, to get PR boxed into a certain opinion, whether or not it's true or not. And that's always one of the biggest challenges of a large nonprofit.
I think we are getting more diverse, though, and a lot more tolerant of dialogue. And I think folks feel, at least I feel, easier about getting into deep conversations about how I feel and how other people might feel without thinking that we have to necessarily follow along ideological lines or that anything's ever the last word. I think we're gradually shifting away from being really didactic and toward being innovative and inclusive while holding on to our core principles of security, equality, and opportunity. And I think it's a great feeling. I feel a lot of forward momentum and a lot of increased openness. And I think it has been a gradual progression that Dr. Maurer can at least be partly responsible for. And, you know, as is everyone that's carrying us into the future.
That, you know, that was on both sides. As much as I've made fun of the cost of food in Dallas and the like, I was spoke to Jeff prior to recording. There was a lot of positivity in ACB as well. I felt very strongly that, there were positive messages coming out of both camps this year. And certainly, Jay, you and I, and Chansey, you've done a couple of these. That hasn't always been the case when we've done some of these wrap-up shows. I mean, for the most part, there were a lot of positive comments. There was dialogue. I think that's the key word that you hit on there, Chansey, was conversation and talk. And maybe that's because the nature of the internet and what we do and how we do it now is definitely making that available for anybody who's in, say, a rural county in Oklahoma to someone who's in New York. You can actually have those conversations and have some commonalities, you know, discussed amongst all of them. I do, though, find that there are definite technology gaps coming between us again in some of these rural areas, you know, DSL versus, you know, broadband, or Uber, for instance, is a service that's available to some but not to others because of the market and what have you. And maybe that means that more cities like Philadelphia and New York and Austin become blind capitals, per se. That's just the state, you know, when you live there, where blind people tend to congregate, or more services tend to be more available in those areas. So in that way, that's kind of interesting, because it's no different than what happens in certain cities that are exploding and going through growth situations. It's neat to see that in our community. And even that itself is a positive. Because it means we're doing something different. We're doing something like the mainstream. Wow, some heady stuff. Any final thoughts before we go ahead and throw it to the tip?
I think we're beat down, man. You know, it gets tiring. The whole week.
She encapsulated it very well, and that was fantastic. And
yes.
Hang with us through the tip, and then we'll do kind of the farewell. So just hang with us for 1 second. We'll be right back after this tip. One of the things that people still find kind of not fun about Android is text editing. And, you know, admittedly, it is not as easy in some ways as, say, iOS. Recently, TalkBack did update, though, and give you the ability to do something pretty neat within text edit boxes. By moving your volume keys up and down, you can actually move the cursor. So I'm going to make a demonstration here. This is in my text messaging app.
Good deal, talk later.
Okay, that's PM. Mom. That sounds ominous. Good deal, talk later. Okay. Sure. Well, I'll just leave my voice input here. Okay, comma. This is just a test for a tip on the podcast, period.
Okay, this is just a test for a tip on the podcast.
Okay, so that's show there.
Edit box. Currently editing.
And I'm going to go.
This is just a test for a tip on the podcast, period. T.
Okay.
S. A. C. D. O. P. Space.
Right? So it put me at the end.
P. O. D. C. A. S. T.
And that was pushing the volume up key. So you do have the ability to kind of go back and forth and do some edits. And of course, I could tap in here and be able to do that with the keyboard going. But just to give you guys an idea that there is a way to kind of maneuver back and forth without a keyboard, especially Bluetooth, connected to my phone by just arrowing up and down on the volume keys. So I'm just pushing up and down, and that moved me through text on a text edit box. JJ says that this came about in Android 4.1 or Android somewhere around TalkBack 4.1. One of the two. I can't remember. There are too many numbers and letters. The point being that this has been around for a while, and you can actually get to it by having a later version of Android / TalkBack.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
A lot of you writing in on Twitter, especially commenting on our coverage of the NFB and ACB convention. So you can go to blindbargains.com and check out that coverage from, thanks, Joe. It was really cool to have someone else do this while Shelly, I was in the hall.
Shelly was
Shelly
good, too.
And ACB.
And Dave. Dave, yes. Bringing us stuff from the U of K.
Site Village. Awesome. Yes. So we're not done. So after this particular podcast, after that, you're going to get a whole bunch of audio from Site Village in the UK. So really cool. It's our first time covering an international show on Blind Bargain. So that'll be some really exciting to get some different perspectives on that.
And thank you, Brian Harchin, for sponsoring.
Yes, Harchin Consultancy and Home of Lisi, they are sponsoring the Site Village coverage. So that's coming up. I got a couple of tweets here. I asked people to just sum up their convention in a tweet. Emily says, historic, record-breaking convention, thought-provoking discussion and philosophy. Best roommate ever. Shout out to Tony Oliveira. Rich Cavallero. NFB 15 was an experience I was so glad to be a part of. Truly an historic event I will always remember. And keep those coming in if you
want. Very much there. In line with what Chansey was saying.
Yeah, definitely. 28-13. I don't have the final ACB numbers. I saw during the election that Jeff barely won, but he did win. It was about 700 and 720 that voted. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are others that didn't vote.
So definitely.
So, yeah, but still a fair amount of people there. So,
absolutely.
That's what we have. And, they were the same week. So that I think that affected things a little bit as well.
Yeah, that was really strange. And also the same week as San Diego Comic-Con, I am extremely tired, watching and reading a bunch of stuff.
It's corporate now. It doesn't matter anymore. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, sure. There was a Doctor Who panel. Anyway, there always is going to be a Doctor Who panel. September 19th. I will be very much happy. Season 9. They announced season 10 too. There is always room for your feedback. Feedback at blindbargains.com. You can drop a comment right there in the old comment section. And of course, write us directly. Or talk to us on Twitter, twitter.com/blindbargains. And again, the best way you can help us, and let me, people asked, how can they do something for the show? You can rate us on iTunes. You can run over there and put a comment in there. That's always very helpful. You can share the links, but not the audio. Please, we actually do look at links because that actually determines how many people are downloading a certain bit of content, and that says, people happen to like this product. We should probably concentrate and talk to this company more. So if you are listening, maybe someone gave you a copy of this audio, or you got it from a Dropbox, or maybe you're hearing it at maybe a cafeteria, as I know has happened in the past at some schools. We appreciate you for it, but please run over there and click on the links that you like, because that helps us track these things. And it also helps with our sponsors. Our sponsors who were very generous, HIMSS and Harchin Consultancy and others. It takes a lot to mount things and get them in little boxes and ship them and record and then upload and Patrick make it sound all wonderful. It takes a little bit of time and a little bit of money. So please understand that's why we're asking. We're not trying to clickbait you. We actually do use this information to determine what we cover on the show. So many people were asking me on the floor of why I say
you
these
can,
things.
This is why. Yeah, and on the new version of the iOS app, there's a lot more ways to share, whether it's through Facebook or Twitter, or just through sending someone a message with, you can, whatever you're currently listening to, you can send them a link of what you're listening to or any news post. Just click on the share link, the share button from any spot pretty much in the app, and it will share whatever you're looking at with whoever you want to. And you can do that. So.
Last word, I really didn't pull anything because this was kind of a different format, but I will say that more than ever before, you have now coming an ACB app, you have an NFB app, you have all sorts of ways to be able to keep in tune with the various places and connected to find out what's going on. You can get involved with your local chapter, but honestly, if you have a complaint, if you have an issue, if you have something that you feel very strongly about, get involved. That is the best last word that I can give you today is if you feel very strongly about something, if you think that you need to improve something or you think that your idea could improve lives of others, definitely involve yourself with the organization. And for full disclosure, I am the vice president of the Assistive Technology Trainers Group for the NFB. And some of that audio will be appearing the first week of August. Chansey was on a panel. Chansey, you were so good.
Thanks, Chansey. I'm
so thankful that you did that. That was so good. She was actually pinch hitting for Jay, so that even
apparently I said I was going to do it at some point. I don't remember doing that, but
that was I caught you napping. Yeah, you didn't expect it. But we had a good one there. Mark Solomon from AI Squared does a really good talk on Windows 10, so that'll all sort of kind of work itself out there in the beginning to the end of the year long of Windows 10 funness. But definitely get involved and be a part and get involved with the dialogue. And if you're doing betas, turn in those beta reports. Don't just go get iOS 9. Put in those things because developers are really hoping that you do that and they can get some positive feedback. Who knows? Maybe your bug will actually save Chansey, Jay, and I a lot of time when we're going to do something in an edit field or something like that. So definitely, last word, get involved. Now, you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/RangerStation, all one word. Warning, I am very high traffic. You will learn things about science fiction and comics and food. And probably most of the shows that show up in the show feed probably come out of my Twittery type things, but also some general stuff. But it's a lot of fun too. So definitely follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/RangerStation. Chansey, where can people find you?
I can be found on Twitter as well at twitter.com/ChanceyFleet, ChanceyFleet. I tweet accessible technology stuff, library stuff, and randomness, be warned. And you can reach me at chancey.fleet@gmail.com.
I've never been to New York, but I now have a reason to go to New York. It's Chansey.
I don't know if you wanted to mention this, but I know you got some events coming up either now or later, but we'll hear about them from people, you know, a lot of people, listeners in the New York area, as far as events associated with the library or just in the area that you're helping to organize. And
why, yes, we do have quite a few events coming up at the library. Although I'm speaking on my own time this evening, I do work at the New York Public Library, Andrew Haskell Braille and Talking Book Library. And you can check us out at talkingbooks.nypl.org. We've got some great workshops coming up this Saturday on independent travel and blind videography and photography. On the 16th, we are celebrating over 100 interviews in our oral history project, Visible Lives. And on the 26th, which is a Sunday, at the Mid-Manhattan branch, we are having two fabulous panels about people with disabilities waging and winning legal battles, and people with disabilities as actors, creators, and agents of change. That's at the Mid-Manhattan branch on the 26th at 1 p.m., and we do hope that you'll join us for any and all of those events.
The 25th anniversary of the ADA that day.
That's right.
See, this is why I have to go to New York. Chansey's got all this really cool stuff happening. So, you know, as a young boy who grew up on the Third Coast in the Gulf, you know, we were Southern. We were taught never to go across the Mason-Dixon line. I'm willing to do this to come up and see Chansey at the New York Public Library. Check out all that stuff. That is some fantastic things. Jay, you talked about some amazing stuff over at AT Guys in episode 22, I speak having a Beam speaker band right here in front of me, which is pretty cool. I like this little guy.
It's kind of we had this whole noise pollution discussion around convention. But, you know, hey, thank you for everyone, like I said, who came around the booth. I believe it was our busiest year ever for a booth. And I really do appreciate everyone who came by and supported us or just said hi. It was really awesome. Considering that, I don't have any conventions coming up until the fall. We'll probably go to some state conventions and things like that as we get closer to them. I'll be sure to announce what's going on. I'm going to be volunteering at a summer science program that's put on by the NFB of Michigan the last weekend of July. So if you have anybody who is middle school or high school who is looking for a really accessible science experience, it's right around the Detroit area. And it will be all sorts of really cool experiences. Carrie Sapallo from Independent Science will be there, and as well as some great adult blind mentors. So it's not too late to sign up for that. If you know of anyone who might be interested, or perhaps you are interested, send me an email to the support@atguys.com address, and we'll get you connected with the right people. We can still make that happen. Of course, we're at atguys.com, or you can tweet us at atguys, or you can tweet at Blind Bargains if you have show-related things as well.
We will get back to the regular format next time, and certainly stay tuned. Well, regular for us, that means that we actually had a real written plan, maybe. Although your plan was pretty good. Jay wrote out a good plan. I'm very happy. And by regular, I mean possibly you won't have 35 pieces of audio flying through the web coming down to you. We'll get back to our weekly format per se, and provide information weekly with timely interviews and very fun guests. Somebody actually told that to me almost in that way. So we definitely appreciate you for listening. Tell your friends about us. Remember, you can pick us up all sorts of places. You can listen to us on the Blaze. You can listen to us on the Victor Reader Stream. You can listen to us on the Amazon Echo. But most of all, you can go ahead and listen to us and leave us all that feedback too. Until next week, everyone, thank you for listening. And Chansey, I'm coming up there. I'm telling you, I'm just going to find a way.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.